How to Christianity. All right. Oh, I didn't save the font, guys. I'm sorry. I messed it up. That was a way cooler font than that. That's kind of McDonald's-esque. Anyway, so we're going to be looking at some how-to stuff. I want to say at the very beginning, when you deal with how-to things, this all boils down to us actually doing something, right? I mean, it's kind of the nature of the beast. And so it is great to be informed, and these are going to be ways of reminding us, of bringing us things to our attention. And hopefully after every class, there's at least something that you recognize that maybe I need to change, maybe I need to grow in this area. And that's what these kind of lessons are for, to help us in those areas. So we'll be doing some how-to things. And so this is something, again, as always, it comes down to us putting things in motion when we start talking about how-to on anything. How many of you look up information online on how to do things yourself instead of paying for somebody else to do it? Anybody do that? Okay. How many of you have been underneath the hood of your car with your cell phone there beside you, praying that this is actually the correct way of doing that? Okay. Just me? All right. So moving on. All right. So obviously we do a lot of how-to things. You know, we need to make sure that we're doing things correctly. We can always do something. But if you're halfway through a project and you recognize that you're doing it the wrong way, maybe we need to change. And likewise, if we're halfway through our lifespan and recognize maybe there's some things I need to change, this is a class for us to kind of look at some things, not pointing any fingers at anybody, obviously. So this morning we're looking at how to live sanctified, and what all that entails, what being sanctified means. And if we asked what sanctified means, what does sanctified mean? Some of you are going to say this, a process of sanctifying something, right? Some of you are already saying that, and just getting that out of the way. What were some other things that y'all said? What's that? Set apart, yes. That's a really, really key kind of phrase, set apart. To make something holy or consecrated. I've set apart something for a specific use. And that really is the idea of holy versus common. Whenever I think of holy versus common, I think of the greatest examples of these kind of things are like temple instruments, temple things. What do we talk about in the temple? What were some things that were holy and consecrated in the temple? Of course, the Jewish temple. Not temple of Diana or anything like that. The Jewish temple during the time of the Mosaic period. Ark of the Covenant, the commandments, there was some bread. There were all things that, you know, a box. Whenever we think of ark, when you think of ark in the Bible, we're talking about a box, right? And so this was a special box. It was covered in gold. And there may have been other boxes in the Bible, but this particular box was sanctified. So the ark was sanctified. There were things, there were bowls, there were censers, there were all kind of things that were sanctified and holy and only used in relationship to God, in relationship to service to God. Because there were also common bowls that used for any old thing. And we'll talk more about that later on. There's some Bible examples of that. But that is really what it means to be sanctified. So living sanctified, how do I live in a sanctified way? And the Bible obviously is going to talk a little bit about this. Look over in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That may be too small for you to read, but you have your Bibles, or you can turn in your Bibles, or you can open your app to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. According to this passage, who will not inherit the kingdom of God? According to this passage. The unrighteous, right? This is open book. So according to this passage, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor sexual adulterers. So it goes through this list. This is a rather infamous list. And at the end of this, we have this phrase in the King James, but such were some of you, or such were some of you. Are these sins that are listed here, do we consider those kind of lightweight sins? No, we don't. Now, in relationship to sin, is there any sin that's lighter than another sin? No. Sin is sin. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is breaking the law, all right? So in this case, there are some ones that we consider to be heavier, we ourselves, and there are some that come with more consequences, right? And in this case, there's some things that are listed here that are pretty heavy. But he's writing to the church, and he says what? Such or some of you. We would gasp that anybody in the church had ever been any of these things, right? We would gasp. But such were some of you, but you were what? What are the words that we have here? You were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified. Where? In the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. So this idea of what it means to come into the church and live sanctified, there is this changing, there is this something that God does for us to help us to be sanctified, right? Being washed. When we talk about anything being washed, especially in the New Testament, in relationship to us and God, what are we typically talking about? A washing. A cleansing? Where does that cleansing power, where does that come from? Baptism, the blood of Christ, right? We are washed in the blood of Christ, and we are connected with the blood of Christ in baptism. And so this is not a class on that necessarily, but this is where that sanctification process begins. And he says, you were washed. They didn't use that word just because it was a fun word to use. They were referencing specifically baptism here, obviously. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there were some things the Corinthian church needed to change. It says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So, sanctified in Christ Jesus. And so again, this idea that the church, the Bible talking about this sanctification process. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Hebrews 10, verse 10. Hebrews uses a lot the imagery of the Old Testament. If you were to say, what's a Cliff Notes version of the book of Hebrews? It's two words. Better things, right? Better things. We have better things because of what Christ has done. He says, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So we have a better offering, a better sacrifice in Christ. Again, once and for all. We don't have to continue making that sacrifice over and over again. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We might park here for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning of verse 20. How many of you have pots and pans in your house? Anybody? All right. Unless you eat out all the time, you typically have pots and pans. And maybe even if you do eat all the time, you have them there for show, right? Because, you know, you're supposed to have them in the kitchen. So we have pots and pans. When I was growing up, there was a pan that I was not allowed to use. It was Mom's favorite pan for baking and using certain things. We weren't allowed to use it. How many of you grew up with cast iron things? There were certain ways of cleaning cast iron that if you didn't treat it properly, then you messed it all up. I remember one time I was going to be very helpful and clean the kitchen, and I washed that cast iron skillet with all the soap I could possibly find. Because it was black, right? It had all this sticky stuff. It needed to be cleaned. And what did I do? I messed it up, right? So I learned an important lesson that day. But there are certain things that are used. And we have this imagery here in Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware. To some, to honor, and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. What is the idea here that Paul's trying to get across to Timothy? Timothy, you need to teach these people about being a vessel. What is he trying to get across to them? In a large house, there are many vessels. There are many, many things we use. Vessels that are silver and that china that you only use when really special guests come around, right? And then there's the everyday stuff that you buy at the dollar store because it's cheap. So what is he trying to get across here? What's the conditional phrase here? There are different types, but can I be? What should I be striving? According to this passage, if you look in verse 20, that conditional statement, what should I be striving to be? I should be striving to be a vessel of honor, right? Because he says in verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he's talking about what he had talked about earlier, right? He says, everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness in verse 19. So if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor. Now, is it possible, and if we think about our lives as Christians, we're all vessels. Right? And we could take this analogy to the nth degree. You know, we're carrying a gospel message. We're vessels that we should be vessels of honor. Christ wants us to be vessels of honor, sanctified for God's use. But how can I be a vessel of honor according to this passage? By cleaning myself up. I got to polish myself, right? I got to make myself ready for the master's service. Just like a cast iron skillet, there's some things you got to do to prepare that cast iron skillet to make it good and useful. Otherwise, it's just a piece of cast iron. I don't know if you've ever tried to cook eggs on an untreated cast iron skillet, but it is not fun, all right? So it is not useful at all. So in this case, we need to make sure that we're doing those things to prepare ourselves to be vessels of honor. And so if we're going to be vessels of honor, we need to be aware of those things. And because living in this world, we have to make sure that we're doing the things we need to do to maintain being a vessel of honor, right? Maintenance things, regular cleanup, regular things that we should be doing to maintain that separation. Because when we're here and we're as a body of believers together in one place and we're talking about what it means to be Christians, it's easy to amen, right? It's easy to say yes. It's easy to read a verse. It's easy to say this is the answer. But when we walk out that door and we go into the world, we go to the day-to-day workforce and whatever it is that we're doing, going to school, there becomes this pressure and being different becomes sometimes more difficult. Living sanctified when we're here together on Sundays, and you know, it's a little easier, right? But when we're out there and we have to live sanctified and we're trying to keep that Dawn soap off of our nice, you know, sanctified cast iron skillet, then you know, it becomes more difficult. That's probably not the best analogy. Let's just stick with gold and polish ourselves. But to stay polished, there are some things we need to do, right? And some things we should not do in order to stay polished. And so that's kind of the area that we're going to this morning with this class, is to make sure that we're aware of these things. Because if we're not, and we're just kind of going through the day, it's easy to get a little dross on the silver, right? So we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to maintain being sanctified. And the Bible kind of helps us with that. Would you be surprised that the Bible gives information on how to do those kind of things? We should not be, right? So if you look at, again, some other passages, we're not going to have them all up here. This will be an open book kind of thing this morning. But Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writing to the Ephesian church gives them some information about being sanctified. Beginning in verse 17, we're not going to necessarily read this whole text, but as we peruse this thing, you may have some headings here. Beginning of verse 17, as there's sort of a break in the thought. But looking at verse 17 says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. So what is he saying? That are we supposed to be different than everybody else that's out there? All right, so the Bible clearly states there should be a difference between us and everybody else, between those us as Christians trying to live a sanctified life. And what kind of idea does he use here in this passage to talk about our lives? Do not, what verb? That you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk, right? So there's that process, a continual ongoing thing. Verses 18 and 19, how does he describe the Gentiles? How does he describe them? Darkened in their understanding. Alienated or excluded. Ignorance, because of the ignorance, or refuse to listen because of the hardness of their heart. In verse 19, they become callous. And what have they given themselves over to? Sensuality. If I'm giving myself, you know, that's like a, it's a really bad word, sensuality. But what are we talking about? I'm just giving myself over to what my body wants. Right? If my fleshly body is driving my desires and driving my actions and my choices, then I'm depriving myself from the spiritual side of things, right? I'm depriving myself from living the way God wants because I've put my body in motion and say my body's going to determine everything I need to do. Now, that we started off that way, right? Did we not start off that way? You know, sometimes we think of these children and all they do is cry and want what they want. These little hedonistic children. But that's natural for a child, right? But have you ever seen an adult child? Is that pretty? It is not pretty. An adult child that still acts like a child but should know better, right? Should know better how to act. And so it is not pretty to see that. And so, for us, we need to make sure that we're doing our things to grow and mature so that my change, there should at some point be in our life where my body is not telling me how I should live, but my mind connected with God. Here he says the hardness of the heart is talking about ignorance. Is ignorance an excuse according to this passage? Ignorance is not an excuse. So again, we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to be informed about these things. And so he says in verse 22 or verse 21, if indeed you have been heard of him and been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you may lay aside the old self, which is being corrupt according to the lust of the deceit, and renewed in the spirit of your mind. If I am renewed in the spirit of mind, changing those things, my life begins, my change to live sanctified starts in your mind, right? I have to change my mind on some things. I don't know if you've ever been wrong before on something that you held as a conviction. It's happened to me once or twice. But I have been wrong. What I thought was correct and what I thought was true was wrong, and I had to change my mind on certain things. Anyway, I'm going to get into it too much, but that happens, right? That happens. We need to make sure we're staying informed. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, and that's a very good question as far as, I don't know if you heard that, who is he writing to the church in Ephesus? Predominantly, they're made up of Gentiles, this congregation. And so that's why he's writing it kind of in that context. He was an apostle. Also, his ministry was to the Gentiles, who he was supposed to be working with. And he did not exclude the Jews whenever he was in an area where they needed to be taught. He went to them first. But in this case, you're correct. He is writing specifically to more of a Gentile audience. And so verse 25, we see this change. So we see the one side of where people were and darkness, alienated, outside of God. And then verse 25, what do we see needs to happen? What begins to change in verse 25? Put away things. You're putting things away. And putting things and not getting them back out again. Laying aside falsehood, speak truth, be angry, do not sin. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals, stop stealing, but work so that he has to give. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. So what are we changing here? Are we changing some big things? Are we changing habits? Well, I think we are. Have you ever been in a habit of saying certain things? This phrase is just kind of roll off the tongue that maybe we should change, right? And so, yes, there are things, there are habits that are needed to be changed. And in our lives, it's easy to pick up a habit. It's easy to pick things up. When we were learning Spanish, we would pick up little phrases from people we were around a lot. And come to find out, some of those phrases were not phrases we should really be saying. But in the time, we didn't really know what it meant, and so we just kind of say it because in that setting, that's when they said it, right? And so that can get you in trouble, depending on who you're hanging out with. And so, again, these are all things that while we've picked up something, maybe there are some things we should just let go. if we're trying to really polish ourselves and be useful for the master's service. And so he talks about all these things that we should be letting go. Bitterness, anger, being kind to one another, tender-hearted. And so he goes to all these different things. So this is sort of that polishing compound kind of thing that we need to really work ourselves and making sure that we're polished for the master's service. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll see another section of Scripture that gives us some information on what it is to live sanctified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus. That sounds like something we should pay attention to, right? An apostle says this, I might want to perk up. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk to please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. It's like Paul's teaching my lesson for me this morning, right? So here's a how-to. Paul specifically says, this is how you're supposed to walk. Excel in this. Continue to do these things. You're doing it, keep doing it, right? Excel all the more. And so as he says this in this passage, can we say, you know, I'm good enough. I'm in a place where I think I'm comfortable in my Christianity. Should we ever get to that point? No, right? And we all have things. If we're honest with ourselves and honest with the Scripture, we can recognize there are all things that we have to be. All of us have things rather that we should be working on and can be doing better. And maybe that it just depends on who it is. But there are all things we can do. And so it says, verse 2: For you know what commandments we give to you by authority of Jesus. And so again, abstain from this sexual immorality. Now, of course, that is not something we have to deal with anymore. We've evolved beyond that point of dealing with that. And that's not something that we as humans in today's world have to deal with anymore. Is that correct? No. What's interesting is the Bible is written. It is written in a way that will always be valid and always be pertinent for human beings. We will always struggle with this. We will always struggle with these things. Flee sexual immorality, right? Abstain from these things. How to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Here's that idea again, living to be a vessel of honor. How to possess, how to operate this structure you've been given in a way to honor God. It's different to say, well, I was born this way. When I say I'm born this way, and whatever it is, what have I just relinquished? Personal responsibility and control. I was born this way. I'm just an animal. I'm just going to live in this way, right? If I can just say that, I can be born just any old way, right? And whatever I feel like doing them, well, I was just born that way. The Bible doesn't say you're born that way. And even if you are born that way, air quotes, the Bible still holds us. God's Word still holds us. The Father of all creation still holds us to accountability and says, you can change. Right? You can change. You should change. The expectation is, well, there's things you can still do. And so we need to make sure that we are possessing this vessel that we're in for sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, right? As again the Gentiles walk, that no man transgress and be defrauded by his brother. So he goes through a list of things. Verse 7, what are we supposed to be doing? Verse 7, called for what? The purpose of God has not called us, so that's the opposite, right? God has not called us for impurity, but sanctification. So God, when he called us by the gospel message, and brought us into the kingdom of light, there's an expectation that we would do certain things, right? There is this idea of consumer Christianity. What is a consumer? I purchase, I consume goods, I consume things, I consume services, I bring in. Now, if we're going to live in a consumer society, typically you have to produce something, whether it is your time, whatever, in order so you can get money. So that's, okay, economics, we don't want to get into that necessarily. But we are consumers, right? We are consumers. Is it possible we've brought our consumer idea into Christianity? Is that possible? What would that look like? If I brought consumerism into Christianity, what would that look like? Well, maybe instruments in the church, because what is that supposed to be? It's about who in that moment? It's about me, right? Well, I don't like singing so much, and it's more entertaining, and people come more if there are instruments. And that becomes what? Consumerism. It's going to be about us. It's going to be about what we want, not about what is written, not about what is stated or not stated. It's going to be about us. And so in the same way, if I'm coming to church and I'm a part of the body of Christ because what's in it for me, and all these heavy burden, this burden of actually doing something is wearisome. Read Micah in your spare time. It is a burden to serve God, as they said in that time. But if we come in that straight of mind, it's about us and what I can get out of it. Let me just say, God has done so much for us already, and you're asking for more? We were dead in sin. We had no hope. We had no promise. We had no future without that sacrifice. So God's done the bulk of the work. And what at our point, what we're supposed to do is now serve, not to be served. And part of that, part of our service is living sanctified. I am thankful to God for what He has done for me in my life. And so every part of my life that I can polish and make better to glorify Him, I'll do that. But if I'm coming into the church to say, well, you know, it's about what I can get out of it and what I could consume. Now, are there fringe benefits, obviously, from being a part of the body of Christ? Obviously. All spiritual blessings are where? In Christ Jesus. There are spiritual blessings that are there. The Bible doesn't leave those out. But we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to not be just consumers, but we are serving God. And part of my service is living sanctified and holy for Him, to glorify Him and to be examples and help others do the same. We've surrendered self, and that's again another lesson. I'm getting off track, but anyway, 1 Peter. Let's go over 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We might actually get through this, Dan. 1 Peter chapter 1. You're already there if you have your apps. Okay, so what are we looking at here? As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. As we talked about sanctification is a process of making something sanctified or holy, right? That is what that is. And so we're looking here, and he says, as obedient children. Do we know what those look like, obedient children? Of course we know what those look like, obedient children. The answer is yes, right? Some of you are like, I don't know, I've never seen that. We know what obedient children look like. We know the joy of having children that are obedient. Will children be disobedient from time to time? Yes, they're children, all right? It happens. How many of us have never been disobedient to our parents? You know, it's kind of like, who was about sin, cast the first stone kind of thing, right? So we've all been disobedient to our parents before. You guys cannot listen to this point. So it happens. But what is it? Is there joy in knowing that children will, I say something and I ask my child in an appropriate manner to do something and they obey? Is that nice, parents, when that happens? You're like, oh man, that's my child right there that just did that, right? Would you think that it would be any different for God? Any different? Does He take for granted every one of us and say, well, I have so many of them? That's not what the Bible says, right? The Bible says He knows every hair on our head, whether we're getting more or getting less. He knows how many we have. The Bible says He knows when a sparrow touches the ground. He definitely knows about us. Would it be difficult to be obedient to one who loves us so much and has done so much for us? Would it be worrisome or a burden to polish our lives to serve him, to polish and live sanctified for him? He says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former things that you were doing. It's interesting, as children grow up, they make changes in their likes and dislikes and things. How many of you had children that had a dinosaur stage? Anybody? All right, okay. That just loved dinosaurs. I was a child that loved dinosaurs. I knew all the names. I knew all the different things. And then, you know, I grew out of that stage. Then Legos happened, right? Legos, which became parent landmines if you didn't pick them up. If you've ever stepped on a Lego, it's an unusual pain. So it happens. So we go through stages, but we grow up, right? We get to a point where we start making more mature decisions. And that's what he's saying. As obedient children, make mature decisions and don't be in that ignorance which you were in before, right? Don't be juvenile, but like the Holy One, be yourselves holy, be sanctified. If we're supposed to be children of God, children of light, we're supposed to eventually look like him, right? We're supposed to be making decisions like him, living for him and living for others and not living for self. And so that's part of being sanctified is growing up. And finally, we'll look at 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, rather. 2 Corinthians. There's obviously a lot there in Peter about holiness. We just don't have time to get into all of it. But it's our obedience is a service that we render to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. Are there things in our lives that could keep us from being polished? Where do you store silver and gold? Do you store silver and gold out kind of in the weather so that it tarnishes much more quickly? Obviously not, right? You do things to protect something you've polished. That is just the nature of anything precious. And he says here, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? It's hard to read, just so you know. If you memorize a passage in King James and you're trying to read it in another version, it's very difficult sometimes. You just want to throw that other stuff in there. But anyway, don't be bound together with an unbeliever. What partnership hath light with darkness? What can we do with these things? Now, there's obviously a lot here to unpack, but as far as living sanctified, are there people in our lives that maybe we need to kind of separate ourselves from to live in a sanctified life, right? There are relationships we have maybe that are not helping us in our walk with Christ. I'm not going to go into all the details of different types of relationships. You guys know, you all know what relationships might be a burden to you in order to live a sanctified life. We don't have to get into that. There are certain things that we will never be in harmony with other people. However, are there relationships? The flip side of that is obviously true, right? If that is true, I need to stay away from those things. There are relationships that would help us. Do you know of any people that might help you in your Christian walk? Other Christians, yes. The voice from the back of the room, other Christians. So other Christians might help us walk and a better way, right? If we're both trying to walk the same way and encouraging one another to walk the same way, and there's that accountability that we kind of present just being with them on a daily basis, that might help us walk in a better way, right? So make sure that we're doing those things. And so if I walk in a way that's worthy of God, we can do those things. In 7 verse 1, it says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So what's the end? This is a great passage as far as closing things down. What is it that we're striving to do according to 7 verse 1? What am I striving to do if I'm living sanctified? What's that? There's a cleansing that we need to do. Make sure that I'm polishing and cleaning everything from all things that would defile, all things that would take something that is holy and now make it common. And there are practices, habits, maybe even people in our lives that we need to change in order that will help us to live more sanctified and live a life. Now, does that mean that I walk around and just kind of do one of these things? and anybody, there were some Pharisees that tried to live that way, and they had this like huge bubble so they would not be unclean, right? This huge bubble. And they stayed away from everybody so that they wouldn't be unclean. Is that what we're talking about? No. Would we see Christ, the best teacher, the most holy of people? Where was he? With publicans and sinners, right? So there, I live sanctified so that I can be an example and help people out. But whenever their influence is over me, I might need to back out of that scenario, right? A drunk or a former addict does not go into a bar and say, I'm going to minister to those in the bar, right? No, right? You would not, that would not be the case. So obviously there are moments or times when that would be the reverse, where their influence that they have would be over me. But as much as possible, I need to live sanctified so I can magnify Christ and help people get to heaven, not stay away from them. Because Paul says you would have to go out of the world if you stay away from everybody. We're not asking you to leave the planet and go to the moon and live, right? So what we have to do is be examples to people, live sanctified, glorify God, so that we can also be examples to everything else. Because we're not living to serve self. We're not living to serve the body. Everything we do is to serve others and help them as much as possible. Any questions? Yes, sir. That's a great example that of you guys heard that, but he's talking about an individual that he's worked with that's been in prison, dealt drugs, but has come back and is evangelizing and baptizing others. Is there ever a point we can get to the point where we can't be polished again? No, and that's a great example that no matter where I am, well, I'm just too far gone, the dross is too thick, there's no way that I can be polished again. That is not the case. That's where the power of the blood. Yes, ma'am, last comment. Exactly. Christ is our example in all those things as far as being an influence and having those around him to help him as well. That's exactly right. Thank you.